Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Heavenly Father, and Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, today I'm going to tell you a true story about one of my distant relatives. Now, this relative was raised by wealthy parents who wanted the best for their daughter. They wanted a successful career for her, a beautiful home, and a happy life. Your basic American dream. But when she turned 18 and graduated from high school, she asked her parents for her inheritance, which they gave her. It was a substantial amount left to her by her wealthy grandparents. And then she moved away to the West Coast, leaving her home and her family behind her. She reinvented herself and cut ties with her parents because she was tired and resentful of their demands and expectations. She even went as far as to change her name, not just her first name, but also her last name. She left no visible link between her and her family. She had disowned them. But by disowning her family in this way, she communicated that she wanted nothing to do with them. She abandoned her parents in a wake of heartache, and they were left with a choice to make. They could either accept the fact that she had disowned them and move on with their lives, or they could watch from afar, looking for any opportunity to reconcile and reunite with their lost daughter. They could have punished her for the pain and shame she caused them by disowning her as well, but that's not what they did. Instead, they waited patiently and watched for opportunities, saying in their hearts, "You will always be our daughter, and we will always be your parents. You may be lost to us now, but we will always be looking for you." And now, decades later, after patiently waiting, their relationship is beginning to heal. She has come back home. She changed her first name back to her given name and is actively seeking a relationship with them. And just as earthly parents have to decide how to treat their family members who abandon them, our Heavenly Father also decided how to treat his children who run away from him. When Jesus tells us the parable of the prodigal son, we get a clear and wonderful picture of God's fatherly love for his children. In the parable, a son asks for his inheritance, which at that time would have been the same as saying that he would rather his father be dead. Remarkably, the father gave the inheritance, and the son left and traveled to distant lands. But of course, after he squandered his money, a terrible famine hit, and he became desperately hungry, so that he knew that his only option would be to return home to his father. But he also knew that he had sinned against his father, and he assumed that his father had disowned him just as he had disowned his father. So he concocted a plan to go back home and ask to become a servant. That way, at least, he could be fed in his father's house. But his father hadn't disowned him. In fact, his father had been looking for him because he wanted his son back. Now, Jesus said that while the son was still a long way off, the father saw him and ran to him. And before the son could even say a word, he hugged him and kissed him as a show of his love and his joy at being reunited with his son. Even though his son had given up on him, he never gave up on his son. Now, Jesus used this parable to show how God runs after his lost children, which is exactly what he did when he sent Jesus to us. Jesus' ministry was focused on retrieving God's lost children. He ate with tax collectors and sinners. He even forgave their sins. Jesus was sent to gather the lost people back into God's family. He went to the outcasts of Judah, whom the religious leaders would have nothing to do with. He came to them just as the father in the parable ran to his son. He embraced them by going to their homes, and he treated them like family by sharing a meal with them. And when the Pharisees grumbled and asked why he associated with tax collectors and sinners, he said to them, "I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." As sinful people, we disowned God, but God did not disown us. He watched for us. He laid his plan of salvation and sent Jesus to die on the cross for our sins and to call us back into his family through faith. We are his children, and he rejoices to have us back. But then Jesus gives us another character in the parable, the elder brother. Unlike the father who had been looking for his son, his brother, the older brother, was not looking for his younger sibling. In fact, when the father welcomed the younger son back home and celebrated with a feast, the older brother refused to go to the party. You see, the older brother did not see a long-lost sibling. He didn't want to welcome back his younger brother after the shame and hurt that he'd caused. When the younger brother left and disowned the family, the older brother had disowned him as well. The older brother no longer thought of his younger sibling in terms of family. Instead, he only saw his brother's impurity, and he was offended that his father would go to such great lengths to celebrate the return of such a shameful son. Now, when Jesus told the story of the elder brother, he was talking to the Pharisees and showing them how they were acting when they grumbled about Jesus eating and drinking with sinners. They looked at people in terms of righteous and wicked, good and evil, pure and impure, us and them. And let's admit it, sometimes we do the same thing. We draw lines between our church and their church, between us and the rest of the unbelieving world. And most of the time, these lines are drawn for good reasons, but they become a problem when we forget to see our fellow Christians as brothers and sisters in Christ. They become a problem when we fail to see non-Christians as the lost siblings who need to be found. You and I have been made God's children through baptism. We are already members of his family, with all the promises of forgiveness, salvation, and eternal life that go with it. But the question for us today is, how do we treat the rest of the world? Do we disown them, drawing a line in the sand that says, I'm God's child, you are not? Or do we look at the world and see what God sees? A multitude of our lost brothers and sisters. Jesus came to find us, even taking our sin on himself and dying on the cross so that we could be reunited with our Heavenly Father. And now, it's our turn to look for our lost brothers and sisters. It's our turn to run to them, to embrace them and invite them into God's family. And for every lost child who is found, we can celebrate and rejoice that we have a Father who loves us so dearly. Amen. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Amen.